From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Honor AP, a length and a half. Authentic, rushy running on late. It will be Honor AP, a very impressive winner of the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
And Midnight Bizou, bounding past the Twin Spires. Six lengths in front with 100 yards to go. Motion of Motions up into second. Serengeti Empress, nothing late. Under the wire, the magnificent Midnight Bizou.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
And now there's an eighth of a mile to the finish. Shotsky dinks down on the inside. Monday morning quarterback. But here is Max Player on the outside to take over the lead in deep stretch. And Max Player will win the Withers by almost three lengths.
Tears the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tears the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Everyone, good morning and welcome to the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have all of you along for the next couple of hours. And as always, you're joining me across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or you're listening digitally, and you're doing that on our website at horseracingradio.net. Well, did you get your fill of headlines and breaking news this past week? Yeah, there were certainly plenty of it, and I'm going to dive into many of those storylines for you here this morning. Another gangbusters weekend of thoroughbred racing on tap 78 years ago today, believe it or not, July 18th, 1942, the first legal New Jersey horse race in 50 years was run when Garden State Park opened with a crowd of 31,682. So I guess it's somewhat apropos that the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series returns today with the $1 million Haskell Stakes at Monmouth Park in Oceanport, New Jersey. That winning your in race for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division is part of a Saturday card that includes five graded stakes. Yeah, it's a good one. 223 miles north of Monmouth in Saratoga Springs, New York, the Spa will play host to a pair of graded stakes, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes and the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks. Only two trainers will saddle horses in both the Coaching Club American Oaks and the Haskell later today. One of those trainers, Bob Baffert, has amassed more than 3,000 wins in what has been a Hall of Fame career. The other, Safi Joseph Jr., has saddled 343 winners and didn't even record his first graded stakes victory until September of last year. It's David versus Goliath in the truest sense. But there's one other thing that will forever link these two trainers to horse racing lore and horse racing history. Both have trained winners of a horse racing Triple Crown. You might not know that. You might be saying, what, Baron? You're off your rocker. Baffert, of course, won the Triple Crown in 2015 with American Pharoah, and then a few years later with Justify. Safi with Are You Talking to Me? Not quite the household name the other two are. But he won the Triple Crown with Are You Talking to Me? He pulled off that feat in Safi's native country of Barbados in 2009. And Safi's going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern to talk about his contenders in those races later this afternoon. But I just thought that was kind of neat. Bob Baffert, of course, has been nearly unstoppable when it comes to the Haskell. He's won the race a record eight times, but on Wednesday this week, he made headlines for another reason when Oaklawn Park stewards announced a 15-day suspension for the Hall of Fame trainer and the disqualification of his Arkansas Derby winner Charlatan and Gamin, who won an allowance race on that same card after both horses failed the post-race drug test. Baffert's going to be appealing that ruling, citing cross-contamination from an employee who was wearing a Salon Paws patch to mitigate their pain. Now I'm going to be joined by Craig Robertson. He's the attorney representing Bob Baffert in the case. He's going to join me in about 10 or 15 minutes to discuss the situation and outline their position moving into the appeals process. Should be an interesting interview, so stay tuned for that. The other breaking news, which came out on Wednesday, was regarding Del Mar being forced to cancel 3 days of racing this weekend, July 17th, 18th, and 19th, after 15 jockeys tested positive for COVID-19. And you're going to hear from Del Mar Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer Craig Dado outlining that situation in just a few minutes. I'll play that interview for you. He joined Anthony and Bobby on Red Brand Radio yesterday afternoon. I'm also going to be joined by jockey agent Derek Lawson at 9:40 Eastern. Derek represents Flavian Pratt. Flavian, one of the jockeys who did test positive in Southern California. And by the way, kudos to Del Mar for taking these unpleasant but necessary steps to keep everyone safe. This is not a Del Mar, well, it is a Del Mar issue now, but this outbreak among jockeys didn't originate at Del Mar. According to many jockeys and many reports published over the past week, the epicenter, if you will, and the origin is being traced back to Los Alamitos. And I'll ask Derek about that situation and whether or not Los Alamitos was doing enough to prevent the spread of the virus. Keep in mind, it wasn't just thoroughbred jockeys who came up with positive tests. You also had quarter horse riders and valets. So I'll ask Derek about the situation happening with the jockeys in Southern California right now. We've seen many racetracks, including Saratoga, take steps to say, okay, no outside riders can come in during the meet. Only riders based at our racetrack will be able to do it. Prairie Meadows did the same thing. And I touched on that last week on this program when Prairie Meadows announced that they would not accept horses from either Texas or Florida unless those horses were sent to a trainer already based at Prairie Meadows. And I brought that up. I asked the question on the show last week, how long will it be before we start seeing the same protocols with riders? Well, we got our answer. It was only a couple of days later, and NYRA came out and announced that that was going to be their plan. You know, it just wouldn't seem right to host a Haskell Day show and not hear from jockey Joe Bravo. Jersey Joe is going to be with me at 9:20 Eastern. And looking forward to that visit. Not only does he have a mount, Dr. Post, in the Haskell today for trainer Todd Pletcher, the United Nations is another grade one on that program. And Joe is tied among jockeys for the most wins in the United Nations. He'll get a chance to stand alone atop the list later today, and I'll get a chance to talk to Joe second half of the program. Trainer Tom Drury Jr. is going to join me at 9 o'clock Eastern. That name becoming more and more common in racing circles these days. He's going to look back on his first Graded Stakes victory, which came last Saturday in Keeneland's Bluegrass Stakes, with the ultra-talented Art Collector, who, by the way, has now catapulted all the way up to number 4 on the Kentucky Derby points list with that impressive win. And in case you're wondering, haven't done this in a couple of weeks, 49 days, 10 hours, 41 minutes, and 16 seconds until the first Saturday in September and the Run for the Roses. Much different look to the Run for the Roses here in 2020, but that's your countdown. And in case you're wondering about the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, 111 days away from the Breeders' Cup. But Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver, too, the filly, who finished second in the Bluegrass. I thought they both ran tremendous races. And I told you on the show last week, I wasn't sold on Swiss Skydiver in that spot. I didn't know she was good against the girls. I didn't know she was fast enough to compete with the boys. Well, she proved she was. And she beat everybody except for one. Speech was impressive at Keeneland last weekend, too, taking the Ashland. Kind of franks the form, if you will, of Swiss Skydiver, who beat her on the square. But your top five right now, Tis the Law, the Belmont winner. We'll see him next in the Traverse Stakes. Honor AP, Authentic in third. We'll see him in the Traverse later today. 4-5, morning line favorite. Art Collector in fourth, and King Guillermo is up into fifth. That's your top five right now on the road to the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. If you're wondering about the top 20, that's rounded out by Sole Volante, who has 30 points in that 20th position. That will all change, of course, with races like the Haskell and then Travers still to come, and many other horses will have an opportunity to punch their ticket. Country Grammar, we saw him upset the Peter Pan opening day at Saratoga on Thursday. He's up into 11th. So this leaderboard is going to look a lot different when we get to the first Saturday in September, just as it does when we make our way to the first Saturday in May and the traditional date of the Kentucky Derby. So it's a very busy show. Going to cover a lot of ground, talk about a lot of different topics. Let me throw the poll question out there. You can go to @HRRN on Twitter to cast your vote, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Who is your pick to win today's Haskell? We'll keep it simple. Who is your pick to win today's Haskell? Authentic, Dr. Post, New York Traffic, or Other? And if you pick the Other, as always, please specify the horse you think can pull off the upset. But those are the three favorites. Authentic, Dr. Post, New York Traffic, and then the Other category. Who is your pick to win today's Haskell? @HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, so Craig Robertson, the attorney for Bob Baffert, coming up in just about 6 or 7 minutes. Saffy Joseph Jr., shortly after 8:35 Eastern. Tom Drury Jr. will be here at 9 o'clock. Joe Bravo at 9:20. And Derek Lawson coming up toward the end of the program at 9:40. Back with more right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Honor AP moves up on the outside, trying to get into second now. Then it's Wrecking Crew. Thousand Words has lost ground. He's 5 lengths off Authentic. As the field turns for home, Honor AP is coming after Authentic. Authentic the leader. Honor AP chasing with determination. Then Storm the Court there in the final furlong. And it's Authentic who's still very strong on the front end. And he pulls away with authority. Authentic is undefeated as he will romp in the San Felipe. A very easy 2.5 lengths. Honor AP, a solid comeback. Storm the Court, third. Thousand Words was fourth.
Frank Miramati with the call of that Grade 2 San Felipe. That was back on March 7th at Santa Anita. Authentic running his record to a perfect 3-for-3 that afternoon. He would come back to finish second in his most recent try, June 6th, the Santa Anita Derby. He finished behind Honor AP that day. And the son of Spendthrift Stallion, Into Mischief, is 4-5 on the morning line in this afternoon's Haskell Stakes. And Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer, looking to add to his record 8 victories in the race. We'll see if Authentic can pull it off and give Bob number 9. I mentioned that Bob made headlines for a different reason this past week, with the Oaklawn stewards announcing that they would suspend Bob for 15 days and disqualify both Charlatan and Gamin, who ran on the Arkansas Derby Day program. Of course, Charlatan winning one of the divisions of the Arkansas Derby. I'm going to talk to his attorney coming up in just a few minutes. Craig Robertson will join me, and Bob Baffert and Craig will be appealing that decision by the Oaklawn stewards. And we'll talk to Craig about the process from here and the case that they hope to make for Bob and the reason for the appeal. We'll do that coming up in just a few minutes. That was just one of two major storylines to break on Wednesday afternoon. The other involving the Del Mar Jockey Colony, where 15 riders tested positive for coronavirus, and Del Mar being forced to suspend racing, which started yesterday, July 17th. They'll suspend for 3 days, 17, 18, and 19, resume, hopefully, next Friday. And yesterday on Red Brand Radio, Del Mar's vice president and chief marketing officer, Craig Dado, took time to visit with Anthony and with Bobby, and he talked about the situation.
We're here with Craig Dado, the senior vice president and chief marketing officer over at Del Mar. Of course, it was announced this week, Del Mar forced to postpone, if you will, the 3 days of racing this weekend. We've already have some good news as far as some of those days coming back. Craig, thanks for some time today. I'm sure you're quite busy out where the turf meets the surf.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. This is a little frustrating, but we're already talking about next weekend and what's to come, and we think we're going to bounce back in a big way.
So 15 jockeys in the room test positive for COVID-19. Of course, automatically shut it down like we're supposed to do, keep everybody safe, keep everybody healthy. All of these guys and gals seem to be okay, asymptomatic, thankfully, and hopefully able to get back to business sooner rather than later, as early as next weekend.
Absolutely. We're taking our orders from the San Diego Department of Public Health, and they said if these guys continue to be asymptomatic for 10 days, they'll be ready to go next Friday. And, so as you mentioned, we have added another day of racing. We've added Monday, July 27th, so now it's going to be a four-day weekend of racing. We're excited about that. It's a little bit of an experiment for us to run on a Monday. We've got high hopes that being the only, let's call it, big signal in the market on that Monday, that we could do rather well. We'll see. If the Monday experiment goes well, I think you may see us add back two other Mondays during the meet.
Interesting. Yeah, you guys used to run Mondays when everybody was able to run six-day weeks. Gone the way of the dodo bird, even up here at Saratoga. But you guys haven't run a Monday in a very long time.
Absolutely right. The other benefit to this, the silver lining, if you will, is that we took all the stakes that we can't run this weekend and we moved them over to next weekend. So we've got 7 stakes next weekend. It's going to be a great lineup of racing, including the San Diego with the return of Maximum Security, the San Clemente Grade 2, and then on Sunday we've got the Eddie Reed. But in total, we're going to have 7 stakes. So look for us to come back with great racing next weekend.
Yeah, busy weekend already. It was set to be out at Del Mar. Now you had all that star power, including Maximum Security. By all reports, especially as swiftly as you guys acted, not only with the COVID and the precautions, but with the racing schedule, not dragging it out, not moving the races a few weeks. Literally, here you go. You're going to see Maximum Security next week in that San Diego.
Absolutely. Should be a great race. The first time they drew it, I think there were 7 in there, some interesting opponents. The two cards that we had to cancel that were already drawn today and tomorrow were really big, great cards with a lot of horses. So our racing secretary, David Jerkins, he has those in his back pocket. He's listed them as extras when we draw next week. And then, of course, we're going to have to add the Monday. So, you know, all those races will be run back. But, you know, we're not sure which day yet. We'll let him work his magic.
And then, like you said, try to sprinkle in perhaps another couple of Mondays to make up for the other 2 days. And again, you know, not to get too technical here, but shouldn't really mess with the condition book too much as long as you're able to stay on that schedule.
Absolutely. It'll just be a little weird for next weekend. But other than that, we'll get right back to the schedule.
All right. Very good. Listen, thank you for a few minutes of your time. I'm sure you're busy just figuring out, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. Great job keeping everybody safe out there. Hopefully we get back to business, and we will definitely talk to you next Friday. Same bat time, same bat channel, my friend.
I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
You got it. Craig Dado, the senior vice president and chief marketing officer out at Del Mar. Nice enough to join us, take some time out of a busy day out in the San Diego area.
All right, my thanks to Craig and to Anthony for the interview and the update as to the situation at Del Mar. And you heard him talk about adding Monday programming, moving the races, the stakes races that would have been run this weekend to next weekend. So that'll make next weekend huge. And let's hope that everything gets back on track by next Friday out where the turf meets the surf. And again, I'm going to continue to talk about that situation with jockey agent Derek Lawson, who represents Flavien Prat. He'll join me later in the program at 9:40 Eastern to give his take on what's happening and the latest on that situation in Southern California. Again, that was just one of two big stories to break on Wednesday, the other involving Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert and the announcement that the Oaklawn Park stewards would suspend Bob and disqualify his two horses that ran on Arkansas Derby Day. I told you about that, Charlatan and Gamin. Bob will be facing a 15-day suspension, which will now be, that decision will now be appealed. And I am joined by his attorney, Craig Robertson, to fill us in on the latest on that situation. Craig, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. We'll try to turn that up a little bit for you. And I'll try to talk a little bit louder for you, Craig. But anyways, just
great.
I guess
better. Thank you.
Can you hear that now? Okay. Update us on the latest in this developing situation.
Well, we filed our appeal yesterday. The steward's ruling we received on Wednesday, disqualifying both of the horses and suspending Bob for 15 days. And so we're entitled to appeal that. We filed the appeal yesterday, and that will result in a hearing before the commissioners of the Arkansas Racing Commission. That has not yet been scheduled. I suspect that will be in the next 30 to 60 days.
Were you surprised when the news came out and the decision was made on the suspension and the disqualifications?
I was surprised, and I was very disappointed, because the rules in Arkansas state that the stewards are to consider mitigating circumstances, and we felt like we had presented a very compelling case of mitigating circumstances that did not warrant disqualification or a suspension. And in particular, in this case, we had presented evidence that this was a case of innocent accidental exposure, not intentional administration, number one. Number two, that the levels of lidocaine found in this case, which were 46 picograms in Charlatan and 185 picograms in Gamin, and a picogram is a trillionth of a gram. So we're talking about very, very trace, minuscule levels, that those levels would have had no effect on the horse at all. No pharmacology. We had undisputed expert testimony from veterinary pharmacologists that said, look, at these trace levels, there would be no pharmacology in the horse at all, so no effect, certainly no performance-enhancing effect. And that wasn't refuted in any way, and so because of that, we were surprised and disappointed, because we felt like if the stewards had considered those undisputed facts and circumstances, that they would recognize that certainly a disqualification was not warranted, and that neither was a suspension.
Yeah, from what I understand, Craig, I guess the threshold that is allowed, if you will, 20 picograms per milliliter in plasma or in the serum, And that's in coordination with the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium. And I guess that's, from a pure number standpoint, that's what was looked at. I guess it brings up a bigger issue. When you talk about 20 picograms per milliliter, that's, to me, and I'm not a veterinarian, but it sounds awful small to me. Does racing have an issue with the way that the testing process is done?
In my opinion, yes, and you bring up a good point. It does bring up a bigger issue. These thresholds, when we're punishing people, and you get these intention grabbing headlines that talk about a positive, and people just read the headlines, and so they think, oh, somebody's cheating or horse racing is dirty. It really does the whole industry an injustice. These thresholds ought to be based on science. And what we have learned is that oftentimes, not with every medication, but with some of them, and certainly with lidocaine, that the thresholds are based on a limit of detection. In other words, the 20 picograms is a threshold that is set because that's how small the testing now can detect. So it's a limit of detection threshold, and it's not related to any pharmacology in the horse. And so in my opinion, these thresholds ought to be set that to where they have some effect on a horse. In other words, if you're just detecting at levels because your sensitivity of testing has gotten so good that you can do that, that's not where you ought to be setting thresholds. You ought to be setting thresholds at where there's actually some sort of pharmacology in a horse where it might affect the horse and therefore have some outcome on the race.
Yeah, and let's set the record straight on this, too. Lidocaine, it is a therapeutic product that is recognized in racing. You can use lidocaine. It's not an illegal product, but the withdrawal guidelines of 72 hours before a race make it so that you can't have too much in the horse's system. And, you know, obviously this test came up high, and that's the reason for the announcement of the suspension for Bob Baffert, and you just laid that out beautifully. Again, the cross-contamination here with a salon pause patch by an employee, that 20 picograms isn't a lot, so I guess that could, in essence, cause something like this?
Yes, and that's, again, what our veterinary pharmacologists have told us and what they testified to in front of the stewards. When this first happened, Bob and his team were shocked. They couldn't understand because, yes, you said that lidocaine is a lawful therapeutic medication, but it's not something that they or their veterinarians had ever intentionally administered to these horses or any of their horses. And so they were trying to figure out, well, how did this happen? What happened? And Bob's assistant trainer all of a sudden realized that week he had been having back pain, was wearing a salon pause patch, which had lidocaine in it, unbeknownst to him. And he had handled these horses, specifically had applied tongue ties to the horses. And so he had applied this patch to his back, handled it with his hands, and then put the tongue ties into the horses and therefore had his hands in the horse's mouth. And our experts have said that is entirely consistent with the test results that we got, that these test results at these minuscule trace picogram levels are consistent with an innocent human exposure like this as opposed to an intentional administration.
Talking with attorney Craig Robertson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, representing Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert in Arkansas right now. This is not the first time, Craig, that you and Bob have partnered, so to speak. You represented him against the California Horse Racing Board with the situation with Justify last year. Of course, Graham Motion. I remember going through some of the situations with Graham Motion when he came up with a positive test here in Kentucky. You represented Graham Motion. And as we talked about, somewhere there has to be some kind of cohesion with the testing process and the withdrawal times. And for some reason, racing really lacking on getting that straight at the moment, it sounds like.
It is. And, I mean, listen, we all want a clean sport with consistent regulations that make sense from a scientific standpoint, that are catching and punishing the individuals who are trying to get some type of competitive advantage. What we don't want are regulations that are not based on science, that are picking up cases of innocent contamination where there is no effect on a horse. And so therefore we end up punishing good, honest folks who are doing the right thing, as opposed to the cheaters. And so I think what's happened here is that our testing has gotten so sensitive that we can pick up these minute traces of substances, such as 20 picograms of lidocaine. And unfortunately, the regulations have not caught up to the testing. And in other words, we're setting the regulations at these levels that are limits of detection, and we're not accounting for the fact that we often have these cases of environmental contamination or innocent human contamination that have no pharmacology on the horse. And so we've just got to get our regulations caught up to the modern day testing to take into account these circumstances, such that our regulations are based on science. I mean, that's what we want. We want regulations, again, that are based on science, and so that we know, hey, if you exceed this threshold, it's not because it was some innocent contamination case that would have no effect on a horse. It's actually because there was some type of intentional administration from someone trying to get a competitive advantage.
Yeah, there's a difference between therapeutic levels and performance-enhancing levels, and that's really the bottom line. Craig Robertson with me here on HRN. Craig, when do you expect that the appeal will be heard?
My guess is it's sometime in the next 30 to 60 days. We have not been told. Again, we just filed the appeal on Friday. Typically, there's a time frame where the parties are given additional time to take some discovery and gather some additional facts and information. So that's why I think it will be within 30 to 60 days.
Well, Craig Robertson, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Craig, listen, appreciate the visit here this morning. Thanks for spending a few minutes to fill us in, and all the best moving forward. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
All right, Craig Robertson. Yeah, interesting. I mean, look, the decision by the Oaklawn stewards is based on the numbers. And the horses, although not performance-enhancing levels of lidocaine in their system, they did have levels that were above the threshold that is allowed by the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium. So by the letter of the law, you make the decision and you do this. But as Craig said, they have a right to appeal and say, hey, wait a minute, just because you can test as low as 20 picograms doesn't mean you should, and there's other factors involved. So that's their argument. We'll see how this all plays out over the coming months or so. All right, coming up now, your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, Safi Joseph Jr. will be with me to talk about his contenders in both the Coaching Club American Oaks at Saratoga and the Haskell Stakes at Monmouth. That's all coming up right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
He was the son of Forley out of Lady Golconda by Hasty Road and was foaled in 1970, the same year as Secretariat. But while Secretariat began showing championship mettle as soon as he began to train, this horse was very rapidly acquiring a marked reputation as an unmanageable rogue. He was a huge colt who very early on displayed an ungentlemanly interest in fillies. Further, he had the dangerous and painful habit of savaging any individual who dared come close enough to him. His owners, the Lazy F Ranch, had him gelded to try to correct a problem, and though that surgical process made him at least trainable, he never got to the racetrack till he was three. He broke his maiden in his second start and had second-place finishes in the Hutchinson Stakes and the Florida Derby. But he ran a distant fourth while priced at 28-1 to Secretariat in that colt's record-smashing win in the Kentucky Derby. This horse came into his own in his sophomore season on the track in the fall, with convincing scores in the Roamer and the Discovery Handicaps at Aqueduct, and that, as the saying goes, was the start of something big indeed. At four, his star shone brightly in the heavens of Thoroughbred Racing. He began that campaign with four straight wins. He was a strikingly handsome, huge bay, standing 17-plus hands, and one could easily pick him out of a crowd of horses at any distance. He did have a gift for the crowd-pleasing late charge that made him very popular with the public, and horsemen were awed by his incredible versatility. At the conclusion of his four-year-old campaign, he won the 12-furlong Woodward by a neck, and 3 weeks later came back to soundly whip the nation's premier sprinters and the 7-furlong Vosburgh Handicap, winning it by three. And just 3 weeks after that, he rolled to a devastating win over a solid field of 9 distance horses in the grueling 2-mile Jockey Club Gold Cup. In that year of 1974, he won 3 Eclipse Awards, Best Older Horse or Gelding, Best Sprinter, and Horse of the Year. He followed that year with 2 other scores as Horse of the Year, both in 1975 and 1976. In both those years, he won 2 legs of the Handicap Triple Crown. The second year, just missing the triple and losing by a heartbreaking nose to Foolish Pleasure in the Suburban. His 1976 campaign as final on the racetrack found him chalking up one of the most remarkable victories in the chronicled annals of racing in the Marlborough Cup. Honest Pleasure was in receipt of 18 pounds from this horse, who was burdened with a weighty impost of 137 pounds. Honest Pleasure moved out to what appeared to be an insurmountable lead in that 10-furlong test. At the top of the stretch, you couldn't find our horse of the day with a proverbial searchlight. But on a sloppy track, Bill Shoemaker turned him loose and he gobbled up huge chunks of real estate in an absolutely breathtaking run that made him appear as though literally shot from a cannon. He got up to win it in the very last stride by a head in a heart-stopping charge to the wire. He was finally forced into retirement by a bad ankle, but not before he had answered the call to post 57 times and winning 34 of those and being in the money on 50 of those occasions. 50 for 57 in the money. Remarkable. That great thoroughbred who turned from rogue to champion and was, in every sense of the word, a people's horse was for go.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all 6 offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of 2 upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman for Red Brand Radio every Wednesday through Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern on HRRN. We'll bring you all of the action from the nation's top tracks like Belmont Park, Churchill Downs, Gulfstream Park, Keeneland, Del Mar, and Saratoga, as well as interviews with some of the top jockeys, trainers, and owners in the game. That's Red Brand Radio on HRRN. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. Mike Pena with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. If you missed any portion of the show so far, well, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is head back to our website, horseracing.com. horseracingradio.net, and you can check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows at your leisure right there at horseracingradio.net. Ask you to weigh in on the poll question. You can do that on our website at HRN, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Who is your pick to win today's Haskell? We kept it pretty simple this morning for you. Authentic, Dr. Post, New York Traffic, or Other. And if you click the Other category, just let me know who you think it is that can upset the apple cart. Those are the three favorites: Authentic, Dr. Post, New York Traffic. And so far, the votes coming in for Dr. Post saying 40% of HRN Nation saying they think Dr. Post is the winner, not the 4-5 favorite Authentic. He's currently second with 35%. New York Traffic, just 13% of the vote right now, which may be a motivating factor for my next guest, who is trainer Safi Joseph Jr. He's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Safi, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Baba. What's going on? Everything good?
Everything is good. Just driving to Monmouth from Saratoga.
So you will be at Monmouth this afternoon and not at the spa. All right, look, man. When you joined me and Jude on Trainer Talk back in 2016 in your office at Gulfstream Park, you had saddled about 70 winners in the U.S. at that point. Now your win total is over 300. You're up to 344 to date, and you're running in grade one races at two different tracks. Come on, man. What's this all about?
I mean, it's just getting the opportunities and working hard and have a good team behind us, and the owners are providing the horses, and that's what it's really. If you have the right owners, it's possible. Without the owners, it's not possible.
Yeah, I'm so happy the way that this whole thing has progressed for you, and to see you pick up your first graded stakes win last year is certainly special. But now to be in these two grade ones today. So let's start with New York Traffic, since you're heading that direction now. First of all, is there a lot of New York traffic this morning?
No, it's been pretty easy drive so far. We have like an hour left, but it's been easy drive so far.
Good. Well, he's a horse, Safi, that has been knocking on the door against some pretty good competition. What's the key to getting the victory here today, other than, of course, running faster than everybody else?
I mean, he's going to have the race flow set up for him. Hopefully someone can put a little pressure on Authentic, and I think he's a horse that could be trackable, that he's handy enough not to sit too far out of it. And then he has to be good enough, and that's a big question mark. He is on the improve, but he's going to have to improve again to beat these kind of horses.
Yeah, he does have that early speed. You can have him wherever you want him, which is a good thing. Paco Lopez is back aboard again this afternoon. He rode him last time out in the Grade 3 Matt Wynn. What did he show you in those last couple of starts that gives you the confidence that he's a horse that can compete at this level?
Well, he definitely showed that each race he's gotten better, and he was second to Wells Bayou and went 9.5. That was a mile and 3/16 that day, so he handled the distance. And then he came back and he ran a very good race when Maxfield beat him. And obviously up to that point, Maxfield was coming off a layoff, but Maxfield was considered one of the best horses on the Triple Crown Trail. And for him to run so close to Maxfield was very rewarding.
He didn't begin his career with you. What do you remember about him coming into your barn for the first time?
Well, it's funny enough, the same owner that owns Math Wizard, he owned him also. And the day that Math Wizard ran, won the Pennsylvania Derby, he ran in the maiden special that day, and he ran third. I was there, so I watched him run. So I always followed him in that regard. And he had run a couple of disappointing races, and that's when John decided to send him up to Gulfstream to us, just for us to get a gauge on him. And he trained good coming into his first race, and he obviously won it well. He went wire to wire that day. But still, I didn't envision him becoming this kind of horse, but he just kept improving. Here we are. I mean, the way the years worked out, where a lot of horses have fallen by the wayside, he just thankfully stayed well, and he kept climbing the ladder. And it's very important that hopefully today, he doesn't have to win today to make us feel good. He just has to run another good race, and hopefully he does.
What was the point when you knew that he could be this caliber and could be this good?
I think the first time we took him to fairgrounds, he ran third that day. But I thought he ran an incomplete race. I thought he looked at everything, and that's why we put blinkers on the next race. I texted John and the owners that day. I said, hey, I think this horse is legit, because the whole race he didn't seem focused, and he ran third and he didn't get beat too far. And then we put blinkers on him after that, and then he came back and validated himself in the Louisiana Derby. And then from then I realized, well, he's able to compete against these kind of horses.
Let's turn our attention to, by the way, talking with Safi Joseph Jr. He is represented in both the Haskell and the Coaching Club American Oaks, the Haskell at Monmouth, where he is making his way to now, and, of course, at Saratoga, the Coaching Club American Oaks. Let's turn to that race, Safi, and talk about Tonalist Shape. She has been so good. She has one blemish on her record. That was in the Gulfstream Park Oaks two starts ago. Other than that, she has been perfect, 6-for-7 lifetime. You had a choice here. You were going to go to the Ashland at Keeneland. She was entered there. You said, nope, we're going to bypass that race and wait till today for the Coaching Club American Oaks. Talk about that decision.
Yeah, initially we were at Ashland, and then we started thinking the Coaching Club was a week after, and obviously there's only so many on a horse that can run in each race. And then the more we waited, we realized that the Coaching Club is probably going to be a race that we could start favoring. And if you can put your horse in a race that they can be favored, that's the best race to be in. They're both grade one status. That's important. If we could get a grade one on our resume, we just won a grade two and a grade three already, but we'd like to get a grade one under our belt. And that was the decision, basically, to go to the Coaching Club.
She had a workout the other day, July 14th at Saratoga, 34-1, Saf, for three furlongs. That's a pretty quick work. What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, it's a quick work, and it's a bit quicker than we had drew it up as. But since she's put on the blinkers, that was the second time she's worked in the blinkers. Since she's put on the blinkers, she's really worked much improved. And I hope that carries forward to the race. If it does carry forward to the race, she's going to be very tough to beat. I mean, obviously blinkers, sometimes they can work well in them, and it doesn't carry to the race. And that's always in the back of your mind when you're making a change. But everyone, the Gats owner, Sabina, my assistant, writes all the time, she seems the blinkers have put her to a different level, and we hope it carries on. And if it does, we're very confident that she will run well.
Is it more difficult for a trainer to make a change like this and add blinkers when you have a horse that's 6-for-7 lifetime?
Yeah, that's the thing. You question yourself, why are you making a change? But the blinker thing came about when she got beat in the Oaks. One of the owners recommended blinkers, and I said we can't make a change basically after a loss, because then we come back and get beat again, and it's an easy excuse. So I said, let's wait, try to get through the set, which we did, and I said, I'll put it on a work, and I'll see if I see any change. And if I do, then we could consider working in blinkers. The first time I put blinkers on her was at Gulfstream, and she worked tremendously. And I called and I told all the owners, I said, well, we're in trouble now. We got to try blinkers, because it seems like it just took her to a different level. And we need to get it. She's already a nice filly, but she needs to improve or take a next step forward to be among the leaders for the Oaks. So it's worth the chance.
Yeah, she'll break from the inside post. You get Irad Ortiz Jr. aboard again. He was aboard for that last win in the Hollywood Wildcat at Gulfstream on May 15th. Last week, Kenny McPeak was talking about Hall of Famer Mike Smith being aboard Swiss Skydiver in the Bluegrass Stakes, and he said, you know, I won't tell him anything. He said, do you tell Rembrandt or Picasso what to do? You don't. You just hand him the paintbrush and let him go. So for you with Irad, do you just let him do his thing?
Yeah, I don't say too much to Irad. I mean, he obviously has been on the Philly. He's 2-for-2 winner. He's ridden a lot of winners for us at Goldstream in the Windsor meet. So with him, if a horse has a quirk or so on, I'll tell him about it. But other than that, I leave the race right into him. That's his job, and he's pretty good at it.
One more question before I let you go, Saf. I know it's going to be a busy day for you, and you're on the road, so I don't want to keep you too long. But you started, as I was having a little fun with you, talking about the success you've had over the past couple of years. You started by mentioning the owners and the horses they've given you. Talk about the owners that are involved with these horses for a minute and what they meant to you and to your career.
I mean, the owners in general, they weren't racing Revolve. I mean, sometimes they don't get enough credit they're supposed to get. Without them, I think it's pretty simple. Owners make trainers. I mean, if you have really good owners behind you, you're going to be successful once you put in the work, and I think we do put in the work, and we can't thank them enough, because there's a lot of good trainers out there also, and they have given us the chance. And that's where the success comes from, basically. I mean, you have to do the work also, but without the owners, you can't do it.
You know, I've seen you walk into the paddock before for big races, and you get pretty intense. You going to be able to keep yourself composed when you go in for the Haskell today?
Yeah, I get nervous every race, even if it's a cheap claiming race. I mean, I think that's why you do it, because, you know, you're putting in so much time and effort, and you just want things to go right. And when they do go right, more times than not, they don't go right. But when they do go right, the feeling is priceless, and that's what racing, anyone in racing does it for. I mean, when there's so many drawbacks sometimes, like things don't go right, and it's frustrating and disappointments, but when everything does go right and you get that high, there's nothing that compares to it. And I think that's what fuels everyone to just keep working hard and trying to keep getting those results.
With you being at Monmouth today, who will be at Saratoga to saddle Tonalist Shape?
So being my assistant, I guess, like Riser, and one of my main assistants, she'll be there. I was there this morning. I saw her walked around. She had her bath, and I left, and then I came to Mama.
He's Safi Joseph Jr., and he is really on a roll. But real quick, Saf, and again, I told you one question. I've asked you like four. But Math Wizard, where is he going next?
Math Wizard, he's running today at Mama Balzo.
Okay, he'll be at Mama today. Okay. All right, well, good luck with him,
he's
my friend.
Mama Cup today.
Good. I missed that one. Good luck with him. Good luck with Tonalist Shape, and good luck with New York traffic as well. Go get it done today, and all the best, my friend. Be safe.
Thank you very much, Mike. Take care.
All right, Safi Joseph Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, I got so focused on those other races, I missed Math Wizard. How did I do that? Good luck to Safi. Yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, again, you talk about a hard worker. You heard me mention that he had like 70 wins. I think it was 71 wins when Jude and I sat down with him in 2016. And here we are. The last couple of years have just been a dream ride for him. And he's catapulted right to the top. And you heard him give credit to his owners. It's all about the owners and the horses that they give you. Now he's getting better horses. Now he's getting the opportunity to compete at higher levels. And he's making the most of it. So good luck to Safi and the team today as they get ready to have a very busy day on both racetracks at Monmouth and at Saratoga. I'll get to a break. I'll come back and get you set for the second half of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power. Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainsway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 and 4/5, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his champion sire. And buyers agree, with First Crop Yearling selling for up to $250,000 in 2019 and First Crop two-year-olds selling for up to $270,000 this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Right.
Racing is coming back this summer, and HRRN will be there every step of the way. Tune in August 1st for the Whitney Stakes and August 8th for the Travers, live from Saratoga. And as always, HRRN is your radio home for the Triple Crown, with the Kentucky Derby on September 5th and the Preakness Stakes on October 3rd. Plus, we'll have the Charlestown Classic from Charlestown and the Virginia Derby from Colonial Downs. And all the major stakes races from Belmont, Keeneland, Woodbine, Pimlico, Laurel Park, Santa Anita, and more. HRRN is your home for racing's biggest events. Visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to see our complete summer and fall schedule.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Top of the stretch, Art Collector comes off the turn, running on strong. Opens up to lead by two. Finnick the Fierce put in a bid, but was repelled. Shared Sense and Necker Island, one furlong to go. And Art Collector, gliding through the stretch, goes coast to coast and finishes full of run. Stylish effort there. Art Collector the winner, Shared Sense second, Finnick the Fierce, and Necker Island.
Art Collector, the winner of last weekend's Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, will no doubt be pointing for the Run for the Roses now on the first Saturday in September after that big win. He's all the way up into the fourth position in the point standings by virtue of his 100 points he earned for the win in the Bluegrass. And I'm going to be joined by his trainer, Tom Drury Jr., coming up in a few minutes, 9 o'clock Eastern. He'll be with me to look back on that day and look ahead to what Art Collector might be facing over the next couple of months as we get closer to the Run for the Roses. Don't forget that if you are looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, check out RTN.TV, the Racetrack Television Network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And how about this? As a special treat for all of our listeners, if you use the promo code capital HRRN, all capital letters, you'll get your first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free. Just visit RTN.TV to sign up today. And again, use that promo code HRRN to get the first 7 days for free. It's a great product. I tell you every week that we use it in our studios here in Lexington and couldn't get by without it. It's just fantastic. You feel like you're sitting at the racetrack watching all of those live feeds. So head over there, RTN.TV. Also want to remind you before we get to the second half of the show that if you haven't already done so, you'll want to make sure you download Blood Horse, because inside the July 11th issue of Blood Horse magazine, you won't want to miss some of the feature stories. And I said July 11th. Those were the stories you could have caught on July 11th, including Counting on Racing, Friends and Family with Swiss Skydiver and owner Peter Callahan. Some other articles in there as well. But here's the deal. You go to bloodhorse.com/sirelist to view exciting new sire lists and updates daily. That's pretty cool. And you can go to bloodhorse.com/digital, where digital subscriptions are also available. All right, so I told you the second half of the show begins with Tom Drury Jr. Jockey Joe Bravo going to be with me at 9:20 Eastern, and jockey agent Derek Lawson at 9:40. He represents Flavian Pratt, one of the jockeys who tested positive in Southern California for coronavirus. So we'll look forward to hearing from Derek at the end of the program as well. Let's give you an update on the poll question. The poll question, who is your pick to win today's Haskell Authentic, Dr. Post, New York Traffic, or other? And Dr. Post continuing to lead the way. 40% of the vote saying Dr. Post, which will be music to the ears of Joe Bravo as he's going to be aboard Dr. Post for Todd Pletcher coming up later this afternoon. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net. My interview with Bob Baffert's attorney, Craig Robertson, spelling out the situation in Arkansas. Craig Dato updating everybody on the situation at Del Mar with the jockeys and the racing product. And then Safi Joseph Jr. just a few minutes ago, all part of a loaded first half of the show. Second half continues with much of the same. Back with that right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And it's Authentic who's still very strong on the front end. And he pulls away with authority. Authentic is undefeated as he will romp in the San Felipe. A very easy 2.5 lengths.
Gamine's running up the score. Oh, look at this fine filly romp here. John Velasquez lets her roll at the 16th pole, and she has absolutely destroyed the acorn field.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
It's Modernist toward the inside for Junior Alvarado, Major Fed closing, New York Traffic Gamely, and then Mel Mamoney. It's Modernist. Modernist and Junior Rivera and Junior Alvarado at 12-1. Modernist has won it.
Tom's Detas shaken up to a 3-length lead. By My Standards is trying hard, but he's still second. Silver Dust is third. Multiplier trying to come on late for fourth. But with a 16th to go, it's total domination for Tom's Detas.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on. Busy morning here on the 18th day of July 2020. Going to be joined by trainer Tom Drury Jr. here in just a moment. And we'll look back on that huge win by Art Collector in the Bluegrass last weekend. In case you're wondering, the road to the Kentucky Derby is, well, winding down, if you will. 49 days, 9 hours, 49 minutes, and 5 seconds until the end of the longest road to the Kentucky Derby we've ever seen, with the Derby being moved to September 5th. You have Tis the Law, the Belmont winner, who is in the first position, 272 points at the top of the list. Honor AP in second, Authentic in third, Art Collector in fourth, actually tied with Authentic, the favorite for the Haskell today. They each have 100 points. And then King Guillermo in fifth, and the top 20 rounded out by Sole Volante, who has 30 points to his credit, and a lot will change over the coming days. But the good news for trainer Tom Drury Jr. and owner Bruce Lunsford is that Art Collector is solidly in the field right now for the Run for the Roses. And Tom is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congrats on the big win, brother. That was something special.
You know, it really was. If you'd have told me in January I was going to be in the winner's circle for the Bluegrass, I'd have told you to go see a doctor immediately. I don't know that I would have believed it. So it's been a fun ride, and you know, I'm happy for myself. I'm happy for my staff. We're all enjoying it, and it's just been good stuff.
I always like to point out the fact that when you go to Equibase and you look up Thomas Drury Jr., it now says next to your name, graded stakes winning trainer. And it didn't say that until last Saturday. That's pretty cool.
You know, and it's funny. I've looked at that enough times that I thought eventually it was just going to change itself. But, you know, we've been lucky. We've been able to win some smaller stakes, and people have had us back. And really, I've been very blessed. I've had a great career, but you know, you're right. We didn't have a graded stakes win on our resume, and you know, we've had some horses, you know, run well and hit the board, and just couldn't quite get it done. And to be able to do it in a race like the Bluegrass, though, it just I'm still, you know, I'm a week later and I'm still trying to find the words to describe it. It's just it's been an incredible ride.
Take me back to last Saturday afternoon and put me there with you as Art Collector is turning for home.
You know, I come into the eighth pole. Mike Smith was sitting so chilly on that filly, and anybody else, you know, you feel like you kind of know where they're at, but Mike is so good at that. And coming to the eighth pole, I wasn't sure if we were going to get by her or not. He hadn't really called on her yet, and you know, we were working hard to get to her, and there was a split second where I thought, you know, gosh, we're going to be second. And then where I watched the race, they're coming out of the tunnel at Keeneland, right at the 16th pole, right as he was going by me, was kind of as he was making the lead and going away from her. And, you know, gosh, it from there on, it's just a blur. It really is. It's just a blur. I'd love to tell you what I was doing, but I honestly have no idea. I just, it's just one of those things that, you just can't believe it and just, you know, so appreciative of the opportunity.
And for owner Bruce Lunsford, this was a special win for him as well. I know he's won big races in the past, but as somebody who has so many ties to Kentucky racing, it had to be special to win it for a guy like Bruce.
You know, it really was. You know, Bruce had, and you know, it kind of brought us back around full circle. You know, the first Grade One winner I ever had at the training center was a filly named Madcap Escapade that Bruce owned, and of course she went on to win the Ashland, and I think she was third in the Oaks. And you know, now to so many years later, for us to be able to win the Bluegrass together, and you know, for us to have had a long time relationship, and he's been such a big supporter of what I'm doing here, and he always kind of, you know, it seems like he always finds a horse or two to leave with me, and you know, just always supported us. And I, you know, I couldn't have been happier for him, and he was, you know, he was in the clouds. There's no question. It was a big day for him.
Talk to you and trainer Tom Drury Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, trainer of Art Collector, who got that huge win in the Bluegrass. And now you look up and you see him. I mentioned he's number four on the Derby points list, so he's in the field. If everything stays on track between now and September 5th, Tom, he's solidly in that 20-horse field.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we there was, you know, I mean, obviously leading up to the Bluegrass, it's like, you know, this is an all or nothing kind of deal. I mean, we either, you know, we're either going to get it here, or we're, you know, we're looking at like the Pat Day Mile, or, you know, one of those races on the undercard. So, you know, to be in this situation where we can kind of exhale a little bit. Now, it, you know, the Bluegrass was all about getting the points that we needed. Now it's all about the horse. You know, now you're just looking at your horse, and you're going to use good judgment leading up to the Derby. And, you know, all of your decisions are going to be around the horse's well-being and what's best for him and what you think he needs. And, you know, having that monkey off your back, I mean, it certainly relieves a little pressure.
Where do you think we might see him next?
If I run him at all, it would be at Ellis. I'm certainly not going to put him on a van and go traveling at this stage of the game. You know, you're into late July and, you know, the hottest part of the year, and that's the last thing on earth I want to do is go traveling, especially you know, knowing what's out there waiting on me. If we're going to run against those horses, then so be it, but we're going to make them do it at our house, not theirs. So if I run him anywhere, it would be at Ellis. They've got the Ellis Park Derby down there. You know, it's a nice, easy ship down. He can go down that morning, come back that night. He sleeps in his own bed. And that's if we need it. If we don't need it, we'll just train up to the Derby. But no final decision's been made yet. I'm guessing the latter part of next week, Bruce and I will get together and, you know, we'll have that conversation. But right now, again, it's all about the horse. It's, you know, he's going to take us to these races. We're not going to take him.
What's he showing you since last Saturday?
He's been good. You know, he came out of the race well. If anything, it's like he just keeps improving. You know, he had to work a little harder in the Bluegrass than he had. You know, his first race was, you know, 7/8. I mean, he, you know, Brian threw him his head turning for home, and he kind of inhaled those horses. The second race, you know, he kind of walked the dog on the front end and, you know, was able to kind of explode down the lane. But he really hadn't had anybody eyeball him until Saturday. And you know, just the try that he showed and, the grit. I mean, that was a horse race. I mean, from the quarter pole to the 16th pole, that was, you know, that was as good of a horse race as you're ever going to see. Those horses, they were both giving it all they had. And, I'm kind of glad he had to work for it a little bit, because I think he got what he needed out of that race. So to see him come out of it as well as he has, I'm pretty happy, because it was kind of the best of both worlds. We got enough out of the race, yet we've still got a horse left to work with here.
Tom, when you took out your trainer's license, you took it out at the age of 18, and at the time you were the youngest licensed trainer in the state of Kentucky. Obviously not the case anymore, as you've continued to develop here with your career. But now being a Graded Stakes winning trainer on the road to the Kentucky Derby, and as somebody who grew up in the shadows of Churchill Downs in Louisville, do you even allow yourself to go that far ahead and think about what it would be like to make that walkover with your own horse?
You know, I've mentioned it to a couple of people that are close to me. I mean, obviously my kids, I've talked to them that, you know, if we could all do that walkover together, I mean, that would just, that words can't describe it, you know. It's something that you've watched year in and year out, and you know, you're standing off to the side thinking, man, just, you know, one time let that be me. And, you know, now it's, you know, there's an outside chance that this could actually happen. So, yeah, it's, you know, it would be really special. I'm sure it would be a little bit emotional, You know, it's funny, when you're 18, you're thinking about winning Kentucky Derbies and Breeders' Cups, and you think you can conquer the world. When you're 48, your expectations are a little more realistic to whatever your situation is. And I'll be honest, my program's not really been geared towards, I'm more behind the scenes kind of guy, and my program hasn't really been geared towards having 30 horses at the racetrack and, going to the sales and trying to get the two-year-olds and things of that nature. So to have this happen to me and the way that my business has gone, it's pretty special.
Does this change things for you moving forward now from a business standpoint?
The only thing I would hope that it would change is I think numbers-wise and the way I've got my program set up, I don't know that I really want to change that. I'm pretty comfortable with that, with where that's at. I would maybe hope that it might change the quality of horse that I get a little bit. Maybe we're not spending quite as many days at the smaller tracks, and maybe we're getting more opportunities at Keeneland and Churchill and places like that. But if I haven't learned anything else from Brian Hernandez, it's just, be the same person, stay the same, and don't let the success of a horse change who you are and what you're doing. So I would expect that, if you speak to me a year from now, I'll be doing the same thing I'm doing right now.
Interesting. Brian Hernandez. Now, there's a guy I think is one of the more underrated riders in the sport today. And, obviously you're having the success with him. He wins with Art Collector. Tell me about that relationship with Brian.
He's like a little brother to me. I first met Brian when he had the bug and came to Churchill, and he looked like he was about 6 years old at the time, and we got to be friends. And over the years, obviously his career has just gone leaps and bounds, but he's never forgotten who he was. He's never forgotten where he came from. And a funny story that we joke about a lot, he won the Breeders' Cup, and it was just a very short time after that. I took him to Beulah Park to ride one, and it was a small Ohio bred stake, and Brian was happy to go. We rode up together that day, and just as two friends would. And I remember after the race, him signing programs and doing autographs and pictures, and then we get in the car and we drove back. And he was just the same person. He's always stayed the same person. And that's something that's important to me, that, Art Collector's taking us on a ride that we never expected to go on. And I just don't expect to see a lot of changes within myself or the way my program's set up.
Visiting with graded stakes winning trainer Tom Drury Jr. And that has a nice ring to it. I know it does for him. Tom, I remember when you joined me years ago on Trainer Talk, you were at that point, it was a few years back, and you were really working hard to get things rolling in the right direction. You talked a lot about your dad, and you talked about Frankie Brothers, who you worked with too. Tell me about some of the folks that have had a big influence on you and on your career and really had an impact on getting you involved in the sport.
I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be where I'm at today with Art Collector if it wasn't for Frankie Brothers. When I first started out doing the training center thing, and I was working with other trainers, Frankie was one of the first trainers to give me an opportunity. And of course, the big opportunity being Madcap Escapade early on. And that's kind of led to Bruce giving me some opportunities. And of course, when Frankie retired from training, some of his horses was left with me, some of Bruce's horses, Nina Bonnie, Stoneleigh Stable, he left all of her horses for me to train. And, he's been a big supporter, and to be able to hear from Frankie after winning a race that he won, it was pretty cool. And I certainly wouldn't be where I'm at today without the help of some really good people.
Well, Tom, look, it's been a magical ride, and I hope it continues for you over the next couple of months. Art Collector on his way to the starting gate beneath the Twin Spires, and that would be special to see, too. All the best moving forward. I can't thank you enough for taking the time here. And by the way, because of what you were able to accomplish last week and the dedication you've had to this sport and to this industry for a very long time, I thought it was appropriate that we make you and this interview our industry star of the week. And this segment is presented every week by our good friend Stuart Morris, who has a full-service bloodstock operation. And Man, really appreciate you taking the time. Congratulations on that honor.
Oh, gosh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is, you know, it's funny. This is I'm having a lot of firsts right now, so I hope I hope this can continue on to the first week of September. So thank you so much for having me. It's always always fun to chat with you, and hopefully the first week of September we can talk again.
Yeah, wait. How many interviews have you done since last Saturday?
Oh, gosh, it's been crazy. We've had some, you know, we've had a couple of news channels come out, local news channels come out. I'm going to guess and say, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, it's been consistent. I've done a couple about every day, it seems like. So a buddy of mine was joking with me last night that the only thing that gets more press than me right now is Run Happy. So, it was good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to be right now. Keep it rolling, and I appreciate the visit here this morning, Tom.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, Tom Drury Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And if you want to go back and hear his full story, you can go back to our website, search for Tom Drury, and it will pull up his trainer talk show from a few years back. And that was a lot of fun, too. You hear him talk about even more in depth about Frankie Brothers and about his father and getting started in the sport, and to see where he is today, that's a pretty special thing. And last weekend was a very special thing, a special race for him, a special victory with Art Collector. I mentioned Stuart Morris in that interview being brought to you by Stuart Morris, our Industry Star of the Week segment, which we do every Saturday on this program. Stuart wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his entire team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignments at all the major sales coming up later this summer and into the fall. Yeah, Art Collector, man, you better watch out. He's going in the right direction. And I liked what Tom said. It's all about the horse now. We're going to let the horse take us there. And you hear that from a lot of the top horsemen that I get a chance to visit with here on the program. We're going to let the horse take us there. No reason to put him on a van, ship him anywhere. A race like the Travers, which would probably be a little quick for him anyway. But he doesn't want to ship him out of town. If he goes anywhere, he'll give him one more race at Ellis Park, which is easy to get to. And then, hopefully, target a run for the roses. Great stuff. My thanks to Tom for taking the time here this morning. That interview also brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Like all of our guests, Tom is going to receive a gift from Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love by visiting EmbraceTheRace.com. When I come back, it is Jersey Joe time. Joe Bravo, he's with me on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Get on the fast track to fun. This summer, Ellis Park Racing and Gaming has an action-packed schedule, including the 2020 Run Happy Summer Meet at Ellis Park. The Run Happy Ellis Park Derby will be the track's first ever Kentucky Derby qualifying race. Preview the action August 2nd with the Run Happy Kentucky Downs Preview Day. Then, on August 9th, catch the excitement of the Run Happy Ellis Park Derby, where the winner is almost guaranteed a spot in the Kentucky Derby. We can't wait to make history with you this summer. Visit Ellis Park Racing for details.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm, the tradition continues.
Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino continues live racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through Labor Day. Don't miss your chance to watch and wager every weekend on thoroughbred and quarter horse racing from the mountains of New Mexico. You'll find a simulcast broadcast of Ruidoso Downs races along with free PPs at raceruidoso.com. Visit your favorite ADW provider to place your bet. Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino, home to the world's richest quarter horse race, the All-American Futurity. Guaranteed excitement, you bet.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Lionheart just keeps rolling right along. He went 3/4 in 1, 10, and 2. He's in front by 2.5 lengths at the quarter pole. My Snooki's Boy second. Rockhart 10 is third, and he's put to pressure. He's got to do better. Here comes Pye's Prospect, and he starts to roll. But Rockhart 10 comes, and then at the eighth pole, it's Lionheart in front by 2. My Snooki's Boy is running another big one on the outside. He's coming to the outside of Lionheart. My Snooki's Boy second, running out of time. Here's the wire, and Lionheart has won the Haskell by a length.
Welcome back. Mike Penna with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You're listening to the Equine Forum. How about that? A young Larry Colmus with the call of Lionheart winning the Haskell and doing it under Jersey Joe, Joe Bravo. That was back in 2004, and Joe is with me now here on HRRN. Jersey Joe, what's up, brother?
Good morning, Michael. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You know, that call of Lionheart winning, that has to bring back some unbelievable memories for you.
Yeah, it was pretty special, but really, he made my job easy. He jumped out of the gate, and, yeah, he did all the hard work of just outrunning everybody.
Yeah, he was a good horse, too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. It was a shame. His next start was in the Travers, and he ended up getting injured, and that was his last start. But if he would have stayed healthy, he would have been some really good things. But
well, listen, today you get a chance to pick up another Haskell victory, and you do it with a horse that's one of the favorites, second choice, actually, Dr. Post for trainer Todd Pletcher. It's only his fifth lifetime start, and it's the first time you will ride him. So talk to me about the preparation involved with getting ready to ride in today's Haskell.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be down in Florida when he was running down there. He runs some pretty eye-opening races. I just like he's kind of a horse that could go in between horses, go outside horses. He's like a bulldog. And what really gets me more excited is Todd's team really loves him. He says he's really coming around to himself nicely.
When you're getting ready to ride a horse that you haven't been aboard, especially in a race like this, a big grade one, what do you do to prepare? How do you get ready to do that, Joe?
Just do your homework. Make sure you know what's going on with the horse, how he's playing style, and listen to the connections. Good horses overcome everything.
How much time do you spend looking at the competition?
A lot. I mean, yeah, one of the things today, if it, you know, any obvious handicapper looks at the Haskell field today, you would say, wow, tons of speed. Well, these jockeys, too, they're no dummies. They see that also. So one of my main concerns is leaving there that nobody just goes, you know what, let's all walk the dog in this race and go slow, and I can't play catch up. So that's why you have to let a horse like this run his race.
1.8 miles from the inside post at Monmouth Park. You don't have to give me your exact strategy, but tell me what you'll be thinking as you go into the starting gate.
Please outrun everybody else.
Please run faster than everybody.
I mean, it's a horse race. They have to run faster.
Well, we'll see if
I
Doctor.
What thing. I really couldn't be more confident coming into today's race. I want to thank Vinny Viola and Todd, but we've had a lot of success in the past, winning some really nice graded stakes. Last time I was a pitch hitter for Vinny, I ended up sitting on Army Mule, and that was a spectacular win that day. So hopefully we have a spectacular win this afternoon also.
You know, I mentioned earlier that there are only, let's see, 3 jockeys in the history of the sport who have been able to win 4 renewals of the United Nations, and you are one of them, Georgie Velasquez and Jose Santos, the other 2. If you can win today, you're going to stand alone atop that list, and that has to be pretty special too.
Yeah, and it's nice to be teaming up with Mike Maker. Is he amazing what he does with high-priced claimers and stretch them out on distance? Aquaphobia looks like one of them things that just kind of fits in his kind of role. I'm really excited about that race also, you know. Anytime you have a good shot to win a grade one, that's the stuff we live for.
And I think, have you been aboard Aquaphobia, or is this your first try?
You know what? I rode this horse way back when he was a younger horse for Arnaud Delacour, and we had high hopes for him to be in a nice horse, and I think I've only rode him one time, but I couldn't remember him. That was a little while back.
Yeah, yeah. Again, this race, a longer race, much different than the Haskell because it's on the grass, obviously, mile and three-eighths on the turf. But, Joe, what's the true key, other than having the best horse in the race, what's the key to putting yourself in the right position to win going a mile and three-eighths on the turf at Monmouth?
Save Ram, save your horse. Make sure you have energy for that last final jumps. It's a longer distance than you usually see every day. A mile and three-eighths, but you just got to save your animal. Make sure you have a nice running room, turn it for home, and that's it. Then the horsepower takes over from there.
Yeah, I've always wondered how riders can do that. I mean, you know, you're aboard this, you know, massive animal, and you're going this distance, and yet you've got to time it out perfectly. What's the key to being able to do that?
Well, you know what? It makes my job a lot easier today. He's a 7-year-old horse. He knows how to run. I mean, it's not like I'm going to teach him something new. My main thing is just show him a good, clean trip.
Jockey Joe Bravo with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, he'll be a busy man at Monmouth later today. Joe, thinking about your career, man, 5,400 victories. You passed that milestone not too long ago. 5,405, actually, is the exact number. Man, think back on that career and some of the moments you've been part of. What are some of the things that stand out to you immediately when you start thinking back on your career?
Just glad to be healthy and doing it and loving the game as much as I did when I first walked on the track. It's pretty special, the people you meet, the horses you come across. I'm very thankful, really am. 2020 is one of them years that's just you would never be able to believe. And it gives you time to kind of sit back and reflect and see all the stuff that you've done and just thankful in the position we're in. It's going to be a crazy year. No one knows where any of us are going to be in a year from now just because of this epidemic. And thankful for horse racing to keep running right now. I mean, we're one of the very few sports that are actually going out there. It's pretty wild, and I take my hat off also to racetracks to doing the right measurements to keep it running and going. It's the greatest game played outdoors.
Yeah, you know, earlier we heard from Craig Dato at Del Mar talking about the situation there. I'm going to be joined in the next segment by Derek Lawson, who is the agent for Flavien Pratt. Flavien, one of the jockeys who tested positive for coronavirus in Southern California. Talk about the precautions and the steps that Monmouth is taking with that jocks room to make sure that things don't spread to Monmouth Park.
Yeah, I did. Knock on wood. We've been very blessed. No rider at Monmouth Park has come up positive yet. Everybody's been doing the social distancing in the jocks room. They put up barriers in between each one of our lockers. It's just trying to keep the spread. I mean, how I understand it, this is like a flu kind of symptom that's going to be a lot worse because there is no vaccine for it yet. And Monmouth has just been really on top of everything, just like the other racetracks. I kind of got to give Gulfstream Park the really biggest pat on the back. I mean, they just stood through all this when nobody really knew what they were fighting. We're fighting something that don't know what it is. You don't know what's the right thing to do. And they went through there with really tight precautionaries, and Billy Badgett and Mike Lakehow did an amazing job. Make sure it all goes through by listening to the state, what they asked us to do. And, hey, man, they kept the ball going, and still the game went on. And same thing with Monmouth Park. We have some riders that are coming from out of town, and they got their own locker rooms for this afternoon. They have their own separate ballots this afternoon. So nobody knows what they're up against, but they're trying their best.
Yeah, we saw Saratoga, Naira, announcing that you couldn't have outside jockeys coming in to ride the horses, only the jockeys that were based in the colony there. Same thing with Prairie Meadows. They came out and announced the same protocols. Do you like that approach, or is that a step too far?
Yeah, and there's two other states. Maryland and Florida have the same procedures. I mean, me personally, no, it hurts me. One of my big things through the years is always I like to travel, and I try to follow the good horses when they get good. But 2020 is one of those not normal years. If all riders have to stay at their home track to stay safe, I'm all about it. I mean, it's kind of containing this thing. I mean, so the jockey's room is like a family. If you keep that family together, it's still a family, and hopefully nothing gets passed around. that's just my personal thoughts. Nobody really knows what's going on with all this. There's so many different theories. But let's not go whatever, just stay safe. And we have a great show to put on.
Yeah, well said. He's Joe Bravo, and he'll be a busy man later today at Monmouth Park. Joe, listen, man, you're always very gracious with your time. I can't thank you enough, and all the best later today. Good luck, and stay safe, and a safe trip when you get a leg up later today, too.
Thanks, Mike. It's going to be an amazing afternoon. Monmouth Park really put a great stakes card together. And, hey, listen, you could call me other times. You don't have to just call me when I'm riding grade ones, okay?
Yeah, I'll call you. The next time I see you in a claimer, I'll give you a call, and we'll talk about that, too.
That's what I like to hear. Every day's a special day.
I'm still waiting for you to take me fishing. You and David Fox, I'm waiting for you guys to take me fishing at some point.
Anytime. Come on down. Yeah, David definitely is the captain. He makes me look good out there, you know?
Joe, appreciate it, brother. Have fun. Good luck today.
Always. Thanks, guys.
All right. And Joe Bravo, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift. It's courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, always so much fun to catch up with Joe. And, you know, it's interesting because we threw out the poll question, or I threw it out this morning, and asked you which horse is your pick to win today's Haskell. Gave you the three favorites, Authentic, Dr. Post, and New York Traffic, or you could pick other and let me know who else you like. And so far, Joe's horse is getting the most votes, 41% of the vote coming in for Dr. Post to win the Haskell later today. Should be one heck of a horse race. Obviously, the whole card is loaded with quality at Monmouth. You heard Joe talk about the job that Monmouth did putting that card together. And we just hope that everybody stays safe and healthy and has a safe trip out there later today. All right, I'll get to a break. I'll continue to talk about the developing situation with the jockeys in Southern California. I'll do that next with jockey agent Derek Lawson. Stay with me. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Tina Springs bred and raced Dawson McGann's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper. Now one of the most consistently brilliant sires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adina Springs also bred and raced Ghost Sapper's best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
Shaman Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Believe in the first Shaman Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. For the first time, the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks will be run on the same night, Friday, August 28th. This wild and wonderful card features 7 stakes races worth over $1.2 million combined. The special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 28th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
World Approval, 2 lengths back on the outside of Bowie's Hero when they pass the quarter pole. Turning for home, What a View from Om. Bowie's Hero right behind them. There's an opening for him. World Approval has plenty of work to do. He's dropping back. It's Om, Bowie's Hero. Here comes Next Shares and Channel Maker with Clear Sailing this afternoon is right down the outskirts. It's Bowie's Hero, Next Shares and Channel Maker. Bowie's Hero. Bowie's Hero wins a neck-to-neck shares. Channel Maker third and fourth is either Syntax or World Approval.
Michael Rona with the call of last year's Eddie Reed, Bowie's hero, getting the victory in that stakes race 1 year ago. Flavien Prat was aboard for trainer Phil D'Amato. And Flavien, as a matter of fact, has won the Eddie Reed two of the last 3 years. And I'll be joined by his agent, Derek Lawson, momentarily. The Eddie Reed, one of the races that was supposed to be contested this weekend at Del Mar. But as I told you throughout the program, Del Mar making the decision after many riders tested positive for coronavirus to suspend racing this weekend, 17th, 18th, and 19th. They will not run. They're hoping to bring it back next Friday if everything goes well. You heard from Craig Dato earlier in the program, said they're taking directives from the health department out there. And nobody knows what's happening with the situation better than Derek Lawson, who is the agent for Flavien Prat, one of the jockeys to test positive for coronavirus. Derek, first of all, thanks for being up early with us in California, and good morning, my friend.
Thank you, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. Why don't we start? How is Flavien doing?
Much better. I actually got a chance to see him on Wednesday. I drove up to Los Angeles. I'm staying down here in Del Mar. I drove up to Los Angeles just to talk to him and just to get in, you know, a visual on how he was doing and speaking with him. And he was feeling better. But yesterday afternoon, he called me and he said he was really starting to feel like his old self again.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I know that from what I was told, many of the riders were asymptomatic, but yet they still came up with positive tests. Is that the case? Are many of the riders still continuing to obviously social distance and quarantine, but are they doing okay?
Well, most of the riders, in fact, I think all of them are in better shape than they were or could have been. They're not allowed to come on the racetrack until I think sometime next week. So they've been completely social distanced from the backside of the racetrack. Nobody's working any horses until I think the middle of next week, but I'm not completely sure about that. But that's what I've been told. I'm sorry. And so things are. But as far as speaking with the other agents around here, all their riders are in good shape.
When did Flavien start to realize something might be off?
I think it was in the middle of last week, a week ago, Wednesday, this past Wednesday. He was just kind of, he wasn't the same self. He wasn't talkative. He was kind of really quiet. And he was afraid that there might have been some exposure in the room over in Los Alamitos, not because of Martin Garcia or Saez, Luis Saez, but his valet got sick on Monday of last week. And then that really concerned him because he was close to his valet. So that's where the contamination for him came through.
Yeah, everybody seems to be pointing toward Luis Garcia, Luis Saez and Martin Garcia. Victor Espinoza was quoted as saying that he thought maybe he got too close to Martin Garcia as well. And he's one of the riders that is now battling the coronavirus too and trying to get back and recover. The situation at Los Alamitos sounds like it was less than ideal, Derek. Is that the case?
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, it's kind of unfair to put the blame on Martin Garcia and Luis Saez because they were coming in from out of town. I actually, because that particular week, the Southern California riders began riding on Thursday, and they were there for 4 days. So I think that and not that anybody's to blame or anything like that, but I think you have to look at the situation that it might have been already in the room at Los Al, because they had some of their evening riders, the guys that ride quarter horses, that also have tested positive as well. So to blame two individuals coming in from out of town, I really think that's completely unfair to put that stigma on those two riders.
I talked to Joe Bravo in the previous segment, and he really praised Gulfstream Park in their efforts to keep all of the jockeys safe and all the different protocols they put in place to keep everybody separated. Did we see the same thing at Los Alamitos, and are we seeing that same thing at Del Mar?
Well, at Del Mar, you are. I don't think you did at Los Al. Again, I wasn't allowed on the racetrack. None of the agents have been allowed until we got to Del Mar. The thing that we can only look at is the way Santa Anita handled the riders for the 5 weeks that they put up racing. That was a completely different situation. Every Wednesday, the riders would all come in and be tested. No jockey was allowed to leave on a Saturday and would have been able to ride on a Sunday. So they really made it very, very strict. Of course, they were basically all living in those movie vans, those movie wagon vans. And so that was really strict. Los Alamitos was a little bit lax.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The Stronach group gets a bad rap for a lot of things in this sport, and people don't like the way that they handle situations on a lot of levels. But this in particular, to hear Joe Bravo praise Gulfstream Park, to hear you talk about the way that things went so well and the strictness and the way they addressed the situation at Santa Anita, it sounds to me like they've taken it seriously and they've done a pretty good job at keeping everybody safe.
Well, here in Southern California, especially in Los Angeles, Santa Anita was under the watchful eye of the health department, and they weren't going to let them do anything. They weren't going to let racing start again unless they came up with some pretty, not drastic, but different approaches to containing and keeping the virus away from the riding colony at Santa Anita. So they did a great job.
Derek, how about for you? I know you had to be close to Flavian. You told me when we talked the other day, you went and got tested. You're doing fine?
Yeah, I went and got tested up at Scripps, went to the emergency room because I thought that was the quickest way to get through. The test was, they did all my vitals and everything like that. And then I received, I was told that if I get a phone call, then I would have, then that's an indication that I would have tested positive. But there was no phone call. It was just sent through an email to me, and it said I was non-detectable of the coronavirus. So I feel good about that because I'm 66 years old. Older people have a tendency of this knocks them down pretty quick.
Visiting with Derek Lawson, agent for Flavian Pratt, again hoping to get back to racing next Friday at Del Mar and get back to some sort of normalcy. Flavian once again in the midst of another outstanding year, Derek. What's been the key? I mean, these last couple of years have just been magical for you guys.
Well, it's just a matter of, I think it's just hard work. It's him understanding his role in racing in the United States, much different than what his role was in France, and just maybe doing a better job on finding him better horses to ride. I think that's probably the best key is that I started understanding my job a lot better, realizing that I had one of the top riders in the country, and I had to do a better job as far as selecting horses and becoming a little bit more aggressive with certain people to try and get on their better horses and just making the right decisions. But I think just his talent is now starting to continually risen since we're in year number six working together, and I've seen from the first year to now that he just rides really good races, and it's just a lot of fun for me to sit there and watch him and watch him compete.
I'm always interested to know how the dynamic works with an agent and a rider. Yeah, we'll see agents in the jocks or in the racing office and going through the post position draw and on the backside talking to trainers, looking for the good horses for their rider. But how much back and forth do you guys have between you in trying to pick out the horses?
Well, for Flavian and I mean, he's really, really conscious of the different horses. And I always give him a 2-week heads up on the different races and different horses that he's going to ride. But we communicate quite a bit. Now, as far as being in the racing office with agents, I don't think we're going to be doing that for a long, long time. I went to school on the Steve Rushing school of agenting, where you don't have to be on the racetrack. You just have to have your cell phone open and start taking calls like I did this morning at 4:30 from different trainers. So, walking the backside, we're back doing that a little bit. But I'll tell you one thing, Mike, I kind of was really freaked out when I started walking around Del Mar a little bit because I had been we had been sequestered away from Santa Anita to walk on the backside. So when I was walking around here, I said, man, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Something as simple as, walking around the backside, which all of us have done routinely over the years, throughout history, really, here in thoroughbred racing, and now all of a sudden we have to feel a little uneasy about doing something so basic.
Well, the great thing is that if there's a trainer you don't exactly want to see, you can, you had to dodge and weave around the backside. I'm sitting in my car talking to you, and the trainers are walking by, and all you need to do now is just ring them up and see what where they want you. So it's a different way of working the book.
So where do we go from here, Derek? What are the next steps at Del Mar?
Well, we're taking entries today for we start the following weekend. They've added a day of racing next Monday, so we will actually be racing 4 days next week. I don't know what the protocol is for the jockeys. I assume I don't think they're going to be retested again. I think that they basically are just going to go through this first round of testing, and then we'll get back in action a week from on Friday.
Interesting stuff from Derek Lawson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Give me an update as to what some of the big horses might be that we could see Flavian on later in the meet.
Well, you mentioned that we won the Eddie Reed 2 years in a row. We get to ride United for Richard Mandela in the Eddie Reed. It's a lot shorter race than what he's accustomed to, but it's the only race as of right now that gets him ready for the latter part of the season. So that's one of our big horses that we get a chance to ride next week. And then there's some cowbred races coming up. Well, a big sweep for Mark Latt is going to run in the Fleet Treat Stakes. And then there's other stakes races coming up that are going to be changed around and moved around. So we have to figure out exactly what races are going to use next weekend.
The other neat thing about race meets like Del Mar and Saratoga is you start to see some of the top two-year-olds get into action, and we start, you know, looking ahead to next year's Road to the Kentucky Derby. And so much about what you do, Derek, is trying to find the right hopeful Derby mount for a guy like Flavian Pratt. So tell me about that. How about the young horses? You got anything there that you're looking at?
Well, we were expecting to ride QB1, the Uncle Mo Beholder colt was supposed to run this past week. But I think Mandela is going to hold off on him just a little bit longer. We rode a really nice two-year-old called Sonic Breeze for Doug O'Neill, and he's getting ready for the Best Pal. So that's young two-year-olds, but you know me, I pick Derby horses a week before they run. So I'm not even settled on trying to see which horse we're going to ride for this Derby this year.
Well, Derek, before I let you go, I know you have a busy morning, so I will let you go here in a minute, but we started by talking about the riders and Flavian being one of the riders that tested positive and the protocols that were in place. Saratoga and other racetracks have said, okay, no outside riders can come in. How about Del Mar? Are they still going to let riders come in from out of state or from other racetracks to ride?
That I'm not certain about. I don't think so, but I'm not 100% certain. You'd have to ask the executives at Del Mar. So I'm not certain about that. I know that I did my job. I actually told a trainer who was thinking about going to Saratoga with his three-year-old to run in the Alan Jerkin Stakes. I told him I think he's good enough to run in the Bing Crosby, and so he's going to turn around, stay here, and run a Collusion Illusion in the Bing Crosby instead of going back east. And that enables us to stay on the horse because since Saratoga said no outside riders, we were going to lose the mount on that horse. So we're fortunate in that situation. But as far as outside riders coming here to Del Mar, I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure that they would have a separate room for them, and they may even have them tested. They had that one-hour test that actually worked really well for us a week ago Sunday.
Well, Derek, listen, I appreciate the visit here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll get you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and I'll remind people that they can wear what they love and embrace their passion by going to EmbraceTheRace.com. Stay safe, stay healthy. All my best to Flavian and all the other riders out there. And let's get back to racing here and do it safely very, very soon.
I'll give them all your best wishes. And I appreciate being on your show, Mike.
Derek, appreciate it. Derek Lawson here on HRRN. Yeah, I mean, it's a fluid situation. the one thing that was maybe a little surprising to me is to hear Derek say that he's not sure if they'll go through another round of testing before they come back to ride or not. I would think that they probably have to in some capacity to make sure that they're free and clear after they quarantine. But racing, hopefully, resuming at Del Mar next Friday, and hopefully everybody will be in a position to get back to riding and doing what they do best. Fun story about the trainer that Derek coerced to stay in Southern California for the Bing Crosby as opposed to shipping out to New York so that they could stay on the horse. I think Del Mar, the racing office, needs to put Derek on the payroll. Pretty good stuff. All right, I'll get to another break. I'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainsway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of 3-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his champion sire. And buyers agree, with First Crop yearlings selling for up to $250,000 in 2019 and First Crop two-year-olds selling for up to $270,000 this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The backstretch getting ready to wind down this two-hour edition of the Equine Forum on this 18th day of July 2020. And I told you at the top of the show that it was on this day, 78 years ago, that the first legal New Jersey horse race in 50 years was run when Garden State Park opened with a crowd of 31,682. And today, the road to the Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup Classic winds through Monmouth Park with the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, the winner of the Haskell getting an automatic bid into the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, we'll be there with all the exclusive radio coverage of the Breeders' Cup here at Keeneland in November. You want to make sure that you visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule. And by the way, Road to the Kentucky Derby broadcast schedule. We are your exclusive radio home for the Kentucky Derby and the entire Triple Crown again this year in partnership with NBC Sports, and very proud to be able to say that. And you can go to our website to check out our entire race broadcast schedule and listen to podcasts of all of our talk shows. They're there for you too. This show will be up as a podcast shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern this morning. So if you missed any of it, you can head back and listen and catch up and listen at your leisure. A couple of other things that happened on this day in history, July 18th. In 1989, July 18th, 1989, the last Northern Dancer foal to be sold at public auction, later named Northern Park, was purchased by Zenya Yoshida for $2.8 million. In 30 starts over 4 years in France, Northern Park compiled a 4-7-4 racing record, four wins from those 30 tries. In 1993, July 18th, 1993, jockey Gary Stevens topped $100 million in purse earnings after winning the seventh race at Hollywood Park aboard Don't Presume, a British bred. So a big day for Gary Stevens, too, in terms of a milestone with those purse earnings, July 18th, 1993. So some things that have happened on this day that are notable, and maybe more history being made later today. Actually, no doubt there will be. We'll have another winner of the Haskell. Will it be Bob Baffert? Will he pick up a ninth victory in the race? Those eight wins are a record already, and he's going to look for Authentic, the 4-5 morning line favorite, to get the victory in there. Look, I mean, Authentic on paper is as good as anybody in this race. But our poll question today, which so many of you have taken time to vote on Twitter at HRN, indicates that maybe Authentic is vulnerable, because 42% of the vote coming in for Dr. Post, the Todd Pletcher trainee, who will be ridden by Joe Bravo, who you heard earlier in the show. Authentic, second with 36%. New York Traffic, 12%. And then 10% of you thinking it could be somebody else who wins the race. But let's take a look at the Haskell, maybe in a little more depth. Dr. Post can really finish. And that effort last time out in the Belmont behind Tis the Law has to pick your head up and raise a few eyebrows. That was a really good race for Dr. Post. Keep in mind, he was coming off a bit of a freshening, having not started since April. It was his first try in Graded Stakes Company, and he has to hook Tis the Law on a track that we know Tis the Law loves. And he represented himself very, very well in that race. If he can overcome the inside post today, you have to think that Dr. Post is the most likely upsetter. But you also have New York Traffic for Safi Joseph, who was with me in the first half of the show today. And his effort last time out, finishing second behind Maxfield in the Matt Wynn, is nothing to sneeze at either. He ran a big race that day. Actually had his head in front of Maxfield in the stretch before Maxfield pulled away. But he was one length behind Maxfield in that Matt Wynn, and that was a race that everybody was raving about. All of a sudden, Maxfield became one of, if not the horse to beat, along the road of the Derby. Unfortunately, Maxfield was injured. He's off the trail. But if you loved Maxfield, you have to kind of like New York Traffic and that effort that he put in that race. And he doesn't have to take his track with him. That's what I love about New York Traffic. He's won at Parks as a two-year-old. He's won at Gulfstream. Second beaten a length and a half at the Fairgrounds in the Louisiana Derby, and second beaten a length at Churchill Downs. He'll handle the Monmouth surface today, and he's tractable. You heard Safi talk about his tactical speed. He can be on the lead. He can be just off the lead. Post time for the Haskell today is 5:46 Eastern. Should be a good one. Those three, Authentic, Dr. Post, and New York Traffic, can put on one heck of a show. That Coaching Club American Oaks comes up at Saratoga later today, too. I started the show by telling you that only two trainers, Bob Baffert and Safi Joseph, have horses in both. Tonal is shape, 9-5 on the morning line for Safi and the coaching club, American Oats. 6:16 Eastern is the post of that one. Well, it's been a fun show. Hope you enjoyed it. Craig Robertson, the attorney for Bob Baffert, was with me at the top of the program. Safi Joseph Jr., Tom Drury Jr. was here too, looking back on his Bluegrass winner. Jersey Joe Bravo and Derek Lawson all making the show possible. My thanks to them for being here today. My thanks to my producer, too, Neil Jackson, doing a great job filling in for Lee Delapina in our Lexington studios this morning. And to all of you who took the time to listen today, thanks for being with me. Chauncey handled all of our social media. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next week here on the Equine Forum. As always, go Steelers.